Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, we're excited coming into holiday season. This holiday season has some new things about it that we're doing. We're extending our outreach. Now, I say every so often, I know that I put a lot before you as church folks. You know, there are some churches kind of designed today to not ask anything of the people. But when I look at the Bible, Jesus is asking something of us. He's asking us to first be his witnesses, that we're to go out and we're to do that. So we're trying to focus on that more than we ever have in this season. That means there are a lot of opportunities, and not every opportunity will have every person in it, but ask the Lord, what are you supposed to be involved in? What is your piece or your part to play in that to win and reach people? You know, we can't always just do fellowship events that are focused on all of us getting together and having a good time. We need to create an invitation into the fellowship. That's what this season is about. Now, one of these seasons is going to be especially the, you know, we've got our kids program coming, but we're going to also have a little unveiling that will involve our kids of something it'll be a total surprise to most, and I'm going to keep it that way. Now, why? Because most adults are just as inquisitive as kids. They just do it differently. So you'll want to be here for that. There'll be photo ops involved. In fact, we might have several different things like that this season. Why? I believe that this should be a place where we invest in celebration for things that are right. The more I study the New Testament, the more I see God's desire for us to enjoy life at the fullest, what he intended for us to have and how to live. And he gave us reason to celebrate. And if we focus on that, it stirs his joy in our hearts. If we miss his celebration in Thanksgiving and Christmas and going into the new year, we will be left feeling empty. And many in this world go into depression in December and January. Well, I know the scripture teaches us if we're a part of Christ Jesus, we're risen with him. I'm sure that when his body went into the grave, everybody associated with him felt a pretty big letdown. But when he came out, there was so much joy involved, it took him a long time to get caught up with the idea that he rose again and what it meant. We want to get caught up to the resurrection of Jesus in this season and just be appreciative of what he's done instead of just celebrating Jesus coming as a baby. Imagine if you were the Prince of Heaven, and you didn't have to, that you would lay down your life, become an ordinary human being without divine power, and come into the earth as a baby. At a time when Jews were being persecuted, you would come as one of God's chosen people as a Jew, knowing that everybody would be out to get you and snuff out your life. And in the end, rather than letting people do it, you would give your life to them and let the Heavenly Father do some miracle by laying down your life in the most difficult way. That's what Jesus did for us. He did all of that so that he could bring heaven down. When we accept Jesus as Savior, he's taking us to heaven. We're ultimately going to be there with him. But when we learn how to make him our Lord, we are giving him the ability and the right and privilege to bring heaven into our lives here. That's the difference. So today, when many people focus on just the saving message of Jesus, I'm glad for heaven. I'm glad I'm being saved. I'm glad that he has saved me for heaven, that I'm going to go there. And I don't know anybody saved that isn't excited and pleased about that. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, I'll make you a bargain. If you make me Lord, if we make Jesus Lord of our life while we're here, he can restore heaven to us, so much so that we forget about the Lord's Prayer. We said, pray that the Father's will in heaven be done here on earth. Well, his will is that heaven get to be restored, or a heavenly kind of life or a blessed kind of life be our life here. I know there are many people in the body of Christ trying to take the shortcut, that I've been saved and that's enough. Now God's obligated to bless me. No, he's not. The blessings of God come because we give our life back to Him and say, I'm coming into order with your plan. I'm bringing my life in line with the Scriptures. So this life will be filled with conflict. When you come to church, you should expect something. There will always be a sword fight. Pastor will always be wielding the sword of the Spirit. That means the one that comes from God. And you have to decide whether to pick up your rights and your independence and your own ideas about things and fight with God, or keep your sword in its sheath. Because we have a soul and we have a body, and we think it's all up to us. So when we hear God's word, when we don't receive it, we're really raising our sword and saying, none of that for me. But if we let God do his part, the Scripture says that sword will pierce asunder. It'll go in and it'll cut. It'll separate soul and spirit. Well, I will tell you, that can be a painful process. It is only painful, though, if you raise your sword and fight the sword of God. Because conflict will grow in our lives because we hold back to our own ideas because of something we think or something we've been trained to, or we think, well, God's grace is sufficient for me, so I'm going to do my thing for now because it feels good or I think it's right. This world and people who call themselves the Church of the Living God have gotten awfully carried away with that. Where so many things today are designed, as preachers preach, to just include everybody. Well, the Word says that we're all included in one thing, and it's the sword fight of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is trying to cut asunder and separate our thoughts and our ideas that God would call carnal to accept His ideas, so it drives the chaos out of our life. Today, I want you to know that one of the main messages of the gospel is to restore us to a life of peace and blessing. But that doesn't come without letting God cut away the things that are taking us into chaos. So the more a Christian hangs on to being with or identifying with the world, the more chaos and conflict they're going to have. The more they're going to come to church and hear the word and be angry about it instead of embracing it. So I want you to understand today, if you ever hear the Scriptures brought to you and it makes you feel defensive, be careful what you do next. Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit trying to show us we have God's nature at work, and then we've got some other kind of nature that He doesn't want to dominate us. When we try to hang on to being like the world, it ruins everything that God has designed for us to receive here. I would say for the most part, people are going to go to heaven when they accept Jesus as Savior. But I see some scriptures that make me put a little question mark after that. Say, I don't know, a few things there Jesus is pretty harsh about. He says that we might not go there if we got caught up in this or that. I step back from that and say, better to be safe than ride the fence. So today as I share, I want you to understand Jesus' heart is to teach us from the Word what's right. And while we're hearing what's right, it helps us identify what's not. Or I say it this way, His Word helps us identify righteousness and not. And then we choose to respond to it or not. So Jesus, when I look at how He taught His disciples, liked to point out things that were right in the middle of situations that were wrong. I want to talk about that a little bit today. Matthew 6:33 is about our priorities, and says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and that's kind of vague to us, but it has to do with God's will and His government, or the way He wants to do things. When I think about that, I think I want to look at the Scriptures to find out, how does God want things done? How does He want me to do family? How does He want me to do work? How does He want me to do church? How does He want me to do friendships? Because He goes on to say, when I seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all of these things, all of the necessaries, all of the desires will be added to me. Now that's a big difference than just going the way of the world with things and just working to get what we need. Jesus is creating the greatest conflict that our generation experiences right now in the church world. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the world of darkness, or the void of God. It's really what Scripture says, a void. Do we want to be people in the void, in the darkness, or people in the light? And he tells us it's a matter of having right priorities, and then right order can come into our life. When right order comes into our life, blessings begin to come to us instead of us having to chase down the way the world does, chase everything down. Now, I'm not saying we have no responsibility in this world. We're a church made of highly responsible people with a great work ethic, and I'm glad of that. But God's future in your life isn't dependent on the work ethic. It's dependent on priorities that seek the kingdom first. That's very different than the world. So different that if we don't intentionally focus on that, we'll find ourselves being separated from it and working like the world and being in a life of chaos continually. If your world, your life, your family, your finances, your health, the things that pertain to you are leaning increasingly toward chaos, I want to give you the ability to break that cycle, because it's your decisions and your priorities that will break that and trend you in a better direction. Why? We should have the richest, happiest, most peace-filled life that exists in the earth. That's what Jesus came to give us. Now, this world is going to challenge those kingdom priorities. I want to go to Luke 19 this morning, which is a familiar story about Zacchaeus, but I want to point out some things that we don't normally think about, because it shows how Jesus looks at right priorities, how he focuses on things that are right in our life. And when he is affirming what's right, the Holy Spirit can convict us about what's not. Don't you like the way Jesus does things? He's out to first affirm what's right. Well, we love that, and I'll tell you, anybody that's preaching the gospel is going to first affirm something that's right. Something that we embrace, that we're doing right. Now, sometimes we embrace right by faith and we say, I'm trying to do right, but I'm not there. That's still embracing right. Why? God calls those things that be not as though they were. So he recognizes our faith. He recognizes that our righteousness is Jesus' righteousness. But once that right thing is affirmed in you, then the Holy Spirit has a way of revealing what's not. Why? His light increases and we go, I'm glad I'm getting that. I'm glad I'm doing better. I'm glad I said I'm sorry this week to so-and-so. I'm glad this week that I didn't blow up at so-and-so 2 weeks in a row. How amazing. I'm glad. And we start focusing on what's right. Why? It's the enemy that's going to first come to you accusing what's wrong. God always first points out what's right. Now, I'm going to tell you, he wants you to see what's not, but only after he focuses on what's right. That's how you know the difference. The devil just comes to accuse. Jesus comes that they might have life, we might have it, and have it more abundantly. So he points at something right, and what that does is we receive more of his light into our life. Well, with the increased light, we have conviction of what's not right at the same time. And when those two things are happening in that order, we can and should embrace Jesus' righteousness and say, I'm going to do better now. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Well, that's how his love manifests. He points out his righteousness working through us wherever he can find it. And he affirms what's right. Then we, without having to think about it, see inwardly, why? The sword's doing something. It's cutting asunder soul and spirit. What we're doing by the Spirit of God is going to bring affirmation in our life. What we're doing in our own strength with our own thinking that is against God, that's going to feel like, uncomfortable. And there's a battle of what seems like two persons. And then you got a body, but hopefully your body's already submitted to the Lord more than your mind. But we submit to him, and that's what the kingdom business is about. Now, this was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Scripture says that he was rich. We know that he was unpopular with quite a few folks, not the most popular guy, but he was very generous, and he would reconcile where he had done wrong. He would pay back abundantly, more than he had taken. So if there's such thing as a just and fair tax collector, he was it. Well, he was wanting to do what's right, but he didn't always do what was right. Zacchaeus couldn't see over the crowd, got up, got to where he could see Jesus and perceive Jesus. And Jesus was looking for a connection with him. Why, Jesus was on a mission. When you look to the Lord Jesus, he will find you in whatever state you're in, begin to minister to you. Zacchaeus was doing some things right, but the crowd was upset that Jesus even was speaking to him. Why, at least half of them didn't think Zacchaeus deserved God's attention. But Jesus broke through the crowd and made sure Zacchaeus got it. The crowd called Zacchaeus the chief of sinners. He did not have the best reputation. He was generous. Scripture says he gave half of his income to the poor. Not too many folks today could say that. But the crowd called him the chief of sinners. This is who Jesus is choosing to speak to in a big crowd, where he's coming along, making, traveling along. The crowd's looking to Zacchaeus for what's wrong, but Jesus chooses not to focus on it. Jesus chooses to point out something that's right. He says he was rich, he was unpopular, generous, and a reconciler, but the crowd called him chief of sinners. Now, obviously only a part of Zacchaeus' life identified with Jesus. I want to encourage you today to know that your whole life may not identify with Christ yet. Jesus identifies with what's right in us, and he maximizes that. Amen. Now, verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Now, Zacchaeus knew what people were thinking. When people don't like you that much, they make it known. Zacchaeus is looking for, can I get somebody to look at me for what I'm doing right? Could Jesus possibly see something in me that made him want to talk to me? And Zacchaeus, in trying to receive some affirmation, wanted to say it out loud in front of all the people that were saying, he's worthless. He's no good. That's how Jesus defends us. He takes what we're doing right, and when the enemy is accusing you of what's not right yet, Jesus points out where he identifies with you in your life and points out what's right, and it shuts the crowd, it shuts the enemy up. Sometimes we have to let Jesus in our own mind that way to shut off the parts of our mind that are saying, but you are not all that yet. Well, we all know that. But we do need to hear when something's right. Now, that's what's happening. It says in verse 9 that Jesus saved his whole house that day. Jesus' generosity greater than Zacchaeus. In verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Now, Jesus is showing us how to do that. How to do that with affirming something right. How to make a friend by pointing out what's right. How to care enough about a person to find out what is their gift, talent, ability, what makes them unique, even if it seems somewhat strange to you or foreign to you, to find out what interest somebody else has or what their ability is. I find a greater diversity in my friendships as I get older. Now, I stay closest to the people of God. That's my role in life. But I make a point to work to draw other people into that circle of love, I call it. Circle of relationship, circle of influence. And I found the easiest way to do that is just find out what somebody can do or what they value or what is interesting that you can talk about and affirm them. And when you affirm somebody, just like Jesus is doing with Zacchaeus here, you win a friend and you can save a house. This is one of the greatest pictures of how we witness to people in the world system. Zacchaeus had a little eye in looking at Jesus. If somebody turns their head to look at you, they are looking for a response from you to affirm something good. I found that the more negativity people are experiencing, the more you stand out when you're not the negative one. The more light seems to prevail in a situation and people open up. Why, everybody wants to hear something good. If you're around me very much, if I have what seems like a really negative day and it's 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening and say, Pastor, how you doing? I'm going to say, tell me something good. What is it? That's an indicator of enough negative. Why? Some days people have so much negative, and yes, they can share it with Pastor, but sometimes there's so much negativity, we just need to hear something good. I know that when people talk to Pastor, they're probably more on guard than they are when they talk to you. You're more likely to hear more of the negative and more of the blunt, more of the ugly than Pastor will. So I have compassion for you when you need to hear something good. That's just the state of people. Jesus immediately told a parable because he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. That's what Zacchaeus' story is about. He was lost, but he was looking. He was unsaved, but he was doing some things right. He was accused of being among the worst, but Jesus honored him as though he was the best in the crowd. If we see how Jesus is treating Zacchaeus, we can win anybody. It's just a matter of time. Now, Jesus immediately told a parable to illustrate what Zacchaeus did right, even though he was still being called the chief of sinners. I want us always, as people, to identify that we're a work in progress. Jesus is still working on. That he identifies with us. He looks for the positive in us, but he also recognizes what needs to be fixed. I want us to be a church that we give God room to do that, but we make sure the word is coming so he can. That's why I have to preach to you when the Bible says something's wrong or ungodly and he calls it sin. I have to identify it as that. Otherwise, the sword of the Spirit can't go in and purge that out of your life and out of your thinking and out of your heart. When we think we've got to just preach a love message that doesn't address anything, we're not using the sword of the Spirit. We're using something else that's rather blunt to try to do a cutting away. It never works. If I ever have to have something cut on my body, I want it really sharp and put me to sleep. You know, do it quick, stitch it up. I'll deal with the rest of it in the morning. But I don't want to see any of that. I want the best surgeon I can get, take care of me, knock me out. And have you ever had, I would ask him this one question, have you ever failed at this surgery? And if they hesitate, I'm going to look another direction. Well, I don't want to be a part of a negative statistic or the beginning of one. Now, understand, when we let the sword of the Spirit be the sword, it'll do that for us. If we take the power of salvation away from God's sword, we have another sword, and it's the sword of man. And it says anything goes and everything's okay and Jesus loves you anyway. That's not the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit affirms God's love for us by what's right, but at the same time, it exposes in our heart what's not, and on the inside of us is a battle, and we have to choose. Do I want just Jesus to save me to heaven, or do I want him to bring some heaven into my life here? Don't think the blessing comes without the sword doing its work. That's why we have the Word of God. Jesus looks for the things that we're doing right. Even though this man's still in great conflict, he's being used of God anyway. I want you to know while you're on the journey of God working on you, there's no excuse to not be involved in the work of the ministry. Everybody should get plugged in and be a part. Why? It helps the work of God be accelerated in our lives by being around people who are growing and learning too. We never get away from that. So rather than think, well, when I deal with these problems in my life, then I'll be more helpful, you're making a great mistake. Be more helpful and watch more light come into your life. Be a part of what God's doing. Now, the specific part and the things that are your responsibility, that's between you and God. But if I think you're not listening, I will be his mouthpiece into your life. I will help you. Why? That's what the sword of the Spirit does. It makes you think about, am I doing what I'm supposed to do to honor Jesus personally? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do to win people to him? Is my approach the right approach? I want us to go into the holiday season having this approach. We're going to find something right about every person we encounter, or we just need to keep our mouth shut. We need to go in and give the person the basis to want to strike up a conversation. Somebody's incredibly negative with me, I find a way to get away from them. Why? I don't need more negative in my life. Do you? Oh, you should have said resounding amen there. Well, I'm giving you permission to tell everybody around you, you want positive. I'm giving you permission to tell the family, we're going to rethink how we do the holidays and we're going to focus on what's right. We're going to focus on Jesus right, and that makes us right. His righteousness. Now, Jesus looks for those things. This is verse 12 and 13, and it's not a paraphrase. It's what it says. He said, therefore, this is Jesus talking to his disciples where others could overhear, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. This is Jesus talking about himself. This is Jesus identifying himself as the nobleman from heaven. And he's going to go on a far journey and then he's going to come back. He's setting the disciples up to understand something about the kingdom of God, because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about being a part of the kingdom of God by understanding what just happened with Zacchaeus. You want to operate in the kingdom, you'll do what Jesus did. You'll treat people in your life like Jesus just treated Zacchaeus. Did we hear him say, but dude, you have a really messed up personal life? I know how many ladies have been to your house this week. I know how many parties you've had. I know what goes on in your house. I know how much of your money goes toward that stuff. Jesus didn't need to say any of that. Why? Jesus affirming Zacchaeus triggered conviction on the inside of Zacchaeus. So much so that Jesus said his whole house is saved that day. That's a pretty major thing to have happen. Now, he went to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said, occupy till I come. Well, I've heard occupy till I come preached a lot of ways, but we have to tie it to Zacchaeus' story to understand what Jesus is saying, because this is a parable, this is a little story explaining to the crowd what just went on between Zacchaeus and Jesus. So we understand that Jesus is doing the same thing in our life. He's negotiating to give us a better future. Jesus is negotiating with Zacchaeus without bringing up the negative. He's causing him to come into salvation. If we're going to do kingdom business, Jesus moves us into a greater blessing by focusing on the positive and treating people right and bringing people into the kingdom. He said that he would draw all men unto him if his name is lifted higher. That means if we're not a part of drawing all men to him, we're not doing the right lifting his name higher. Now, that word occupy means a royal decree. Jesus is pointing out something that he's saying, this is how it is. This is the kingdom rule, the kingdom law. Now, we're a part of society where the majority seems to rule. And if the majority is trying to rule, sometimes chaos rises up to unseat the majority. Why? We're in a world of chaos. man's best system is the majority rules, but you know that's not how the kingdom of God works at all. The king rules in the kingdom of God. So when Jesus is introducing this thinking, he's saying, you know, you might think you know how things are supposed to be, but I am giving you a decree in how to be the kingdom of God in the earth. Jesus is pointing out what it is to be a part of that kingdom. Jesus is making a great lesson out of it's how we treat and deal with people that causes us to be a part of the kingdom. Who's he governing? His government is for the people. When Jesus came, the angel said, the government will be on his shoulders. What government? Not the world government. That's on the shoulders of man. But rather, the government of the kingdom of God would be on his shoulders. So if we're serving the Lord Jesus, we recognize everything rests on his authority. Everything that we do is meant to be the way he decreed it and declared it. And when we fight that, when we fight God's word at a personal level or in a bigger picture of the church or as we go out and witness in the world, when we fight that, we're saying this part of my life is not going to be under your rule and reign. I will not submit to your kingdom authority. I will be my own authority in this. That's where we get in really big trouble. That's where we shut out heaven from getting into our lives. I want you to understand what's truly at stake is the blessing of God. God can't get to you the blessing when you refuse the orders of the king. Because the king is getting something to you that's kingdom, not of this world. The king has the ability to break the rules of this world because the rules of heaven are greater. That's why when you acknowledge Jesus as Lord, your world will begin to change. The more you give him lordship, the more your world can change. And the more that supernatural things will happen to you. If it's been a long time since you've seen God move supernaturally, where you went, wow, that was really cool, then this message is for you. He wants you to be that kind of child. He wants you to see him that way. He wants you to see that he is capable of anything and everything to set you on high in the earth, even when you've been made low. That's who he is. Now, he called his 10 servants and delivered them the money, said, occupy till I come. A royal decree. Are you open to Jesus telling you how it is? Well, that was a little better than I was expected. Are you ready to hear how Jesus says it is? Now, he's telling us something. If we want to receive what the king has to give, we'll be really careful how we live and treat the king first and the family next. Why? The kingdom of God is a family. And it's not just the family that we know that's living in the house. It's the family he's called that are on the outside that don't even know yet that they're called to be born again. They don't even know yet. Now, it's a royal decree that regulates the affairs of a community. In other words, the success of Living Word Church hinges entirely on this. Did you know that? That's what Jesus is teaching here. It's a royal decree that everything that we do is to line up with. How Jesus just interacted with Zacchaeus and still is. Why? He's going to his house today. I remember singing the little song in Sunday school. Many of you do too. We say that, we think of that little song. Why? Ultimately, what do we want Jesus coming to our house. Why? Jesus saved the whole house. Jesus announced before he got there the whole house was saved. Don't you know what happened when he got there? They were all excited that Jesus was pointing out what was right. That they quit having to clean up and hide stuff in the house for what was wrong. They knew he already knew about that. That's our great position in the Lord Jesus, if we're honest. He already knows what's wrong. But he comes to us to have a conversation about what's right. And then when he seems to quiet down, we will be the third person to speak. Did you know the third person to speak in a good negotiation setting will be the loser? You want to be the loser when you're spending time with Jesus. You don't want to fight with him. What do? You let him identify what's right, and then you grow quiet and listen. What can I give back to the master that will matter to him? And it isn't, oh, thank you, Jesus, for telling me I'm wonderful. He's not looking for that. He's looking for Jesus. Here's a little bit more of me that I know matters to you, that I know you're piercing my heart because you just got to me. Jesus, you just, you blessed me and affirmed me, and it did something in me that now I find it somehow easier to surrender this part of me to you. I'm going to give you a little bit more of my soul, and I'm going to take a little bit more of your spirit. I'm going to give up. Oh, is that a power? What's the king? That's how the kingdom of God works. Now, regulating the affairs of a community, and one more level, having the force of law. So when it comes to spiritual things, when we find things like this in the scripture, what is this? This is a law of how heaven operates. If you want the blessing of God to come in this life, you submit to the laws of heaven as a higher law than the laws of earth. So in the earth today, it's legal to do all kinds of personal things and live any kind of way people want to within the law. But it's not subject to God's blessing. When we take advantage of the liberal laws of the earth and the politic of today and say, well, Jesus loves everybody. Of course he does love everybody. He so loved the whole world that he gave his life. But he expects us to love him back by saying, I will submit to your way. I will let you be my Lord, and I'm going to increase in lordship. Now, again, this is Zacchaeus, but it's a story about us. Why, in the end, the force of that law will come to bear. And we will, in the end, be judged in how we did with that law. But while we're here, Jesus is constantly pointing out what's right, what's right, what's right, because he knows he'll get our attention by telling us something good. I'm telling you how to get my attention. The fastest, tell me something good. How to get me to walk away is tell me something bad about somebody else. You want to talk about something bad about you? We can do that, but it won't be long. We'll focus on something good. Why? If you're convicted of what's bad, you go to Jesus, right? That's what we're trained to do. That's what the Word says to do. So we want to give that consideration to other folks, to turn that around to what's right. Aren't you glad God's way of dealing with problems first involves pointing out what's right? Yes. I'm going to drive this home 25 times before I'm done today. Why? It's going to make your holidays happier. It's going to enrich your home life. It's going to make the tip of your tongue raw for a while. It's going to teach you how to contain thoughts and then flip it around and say, no, I need to make this a positive interaction. And when you do it, likely the person who was expecting to hear the negative will say, thank you for telling me that. And I'm learning in this. Thank you for not fussing. Doesn't it bring that out? We are more likely to concede than to protect ourselves if the other person's pointing out the positive. Telling you a secret of getting along well with people. Do what Jesus did in this story. See, it's not just pastor making it up. I would say, now if he's my Lord, that means I'm becoming more like him. A royal decree that regulates the affairs of a community ought to be the most loving place on the earth. So, well, pastor, that sounds like no. The word is what points out the negative. And we get to take that personally. Why? We're not supposed to live in sin. We're not supposed to live like the world. We're supposed to do what the Bible says. But while others are learning that, we focus on our own self. Say, Jesus, am I where I need to be? That's healthy. Jesus expects to be our greatest influence. You're a little quieter than I expected today. I always take that. A few folks that tell me when I say that, they say, oh, pastor, we're just really into it and we're really serious. Well, a better way to say we're serious is say amen at the right point, or amen. Get stirred up a little bit. Or why? You can be serious and asleep, or you can be serious and let me know you're there, right? Why? I'm telling you something that I know is key to the kingdom of God. When chaos invades our life, go back and consider this again. Say, am I releasing the anointing and power of God by loving people the way Jesus did in this story? Or am I pointing out what's wrong with somebody else to help me feel a little better about me? See, the crowd was doing it the second way, but he's the chief of sinners. How could Jesus do this? And Jesus flipped it and said, oh no, I'm going to his house to eat. And what did little Zacchaeus do? He had to defend himself. I'm giving half of my income away. You'd think that would get a lot of forgiveness, but it didn't. Don't look for people to all affirm you because you're very giving and loving. Look for Jesus to affirm you. The crowd may not. But his citizens, that means his countrymen, or that means in our case the church. Church folks hated him. Did you know that some church folks today would hate Jesus for saying there's right and there's wrong, and I'm going to focus on right, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring the word to carve out what's wrong but get rid of the wrong? See, that's why the citizens hated this guy, because he had an expectation. He wanted them to make the most of the investment. He wanted them to show a return. He wanted them to bear fruit. He wanted them to have a harvest. They didn't like that there was an expectation. And remember, Jesus is talking about Jesus as he tells the story. And we're the countrymen, the church. And he sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." That's the attitude of rebellion that's in the world, or the wrong spirit that's in the world, or what comes against Christians to say, but my little part of my life here, I own that. My sexuality, I own that. My diet and habits and patterns and what I like to eat and drink and smoke, that's up to me. And, you know, it can be. But the kingdom of God wants to invade that space to make life more full and better. Jesus is never wanting to take something away that will do us good. He wants to take away what will do us harm and replenish it with what's anointed for blessing and long life. The Bible is a guide to finding out what that is. And it's not going to jive with the way of the world and the way of many people that you might know that call themselves Christians. If they're not hearing the Bible that pierces and cuts asunder anything, they're not hearing the true message of the gospel. They're hearing something so watered down that they don't know what color the Kool-Aid is anymore. Why? It's just that. It's something that will have a negative effect instead of a positive. Why? The Word of God is supposed to do a work when it hits us that makes us recognize we need to lay down our sword and let His do a work. Now, this is verse 14. He said, "We'll not have Him reign over us." That means we won't let Him have the highest influence or control. The kingdom of God is about giving control to Jesus. The kingdom of God is letting Him be the ruler instead of looking around at what everybody else is doing. As a young person, you're going to be in the minority to know very much of the word, even among many who call themselves Christians today. Be the one that knows the word, that takes a stand for what's right and does what's right and proclaims it, even if the crowd says, "Who are you to tell me what to do?" We're not telling people what to do. We're telling them what's right. That's what it is. God's word is right and it's light. And people have to choose to let Jesus reign or not. Now, there's a benefit to reigning and letting Him reign. Did you know there's a penalty to rebellion? See, that part of the sword, God's word always has the two sides. It's a sword. One side says, go over here into the blessing. The other side says, here's what needs to be cut off. Here's what needs to be changed in our thinking. Here's what needs to be changed in our living. Here's what needs to be changed in what we say. And then there's the other side that says, if you'll do this, you get that. That's the covenant of God's word. If we'll do this, we get that. Now, verse 15, Jesus is rewarding kingdom-ordered priorities and a kingdom-ordered lifestyle. I tell young folks, when I talk to young folks about learning to live in the goodness of God and being free, learning to live free of sin, anybody can choose to sin. And God's mercy is so great that people feel like they're almost, well, that didn't hurt me any. That didn't hurt anybody. My decision to do that didn't hurt anybody. Who it hurts is it hurts oneself. But God's mercy is so great, we don't always see what it hurt unless we keep going and going and going in that area of sin. Then it's going to catch up with us. Why? Jesus is working still to let His will be done in our life. He's working still to try to keep us out of trouble. But when we choose to go the way of sin or the way of the world, there's a penalty in the end. Scripture says death. No. That wouldn't be a popular message in any church. But it's truth. And it's truth that sets us free. This is verse 15. It says the master is going to come again to evaluate stewardship. One of the stewards lost what he had. He only had one, but he lost the one that he had. And it was given to the best steward. That's a penalty. That's sad. That's your asset being taken away, your potential being taken away, your purpose being taken away. I wouldn't want to be that one. Then there are those that refused the master's reign. It was even worse for them, slain before him. Really? See, people want to say today, but God, let, now this is New Testament. This is Jesus, the King, speaking about how the King does things. We can't deny that this is Jesus giving us a view on why he's so adamant that we do right by the kingdom and we do right by people. Did you ever think about the people closest to you that you might be the least grace-filled toward, are a key in that relationship to growing in stewardship with God, having something taken away, or getting in real trouble someday with the Master? When we're together as the body of Christ and we're together with people representing Jesus, we represent our ruler. We don't represent ourselves. It takes a little while to get our head around that. But he says that there are also two that received promotion. I'm glad that two out of three got a promotion. I'm glad that two out of three did what the master expected and invested wisely. What's this a picture of? How we choose to live our life. How we choose to invest, how we choose to make a difference. And Jesus is pointing out that he was investing in Zacchaeus. He was investing in somebody that most folks would have said, let him go, his day's coming. I'm sure that there were a lot of folks that knew some Old Testament scripture that maybe thought they paid too much taxes, saw how Zacchaeus lived and said, he's got it coming to him. Be the person that never says that. Be the person that learns not to think that. Be the person that is the person of mercy, that's speaking out mercy and grace. Be the person that's finding something good. Be the person that practices that at home. I think Zacchaeus learned something real valuable that day when his house got saved. He probably said, I no longer want to hear any murmuring and complaining in this house. We're going to look at one another and find something good to talk about. Now, that doesn't mean there's no discipline. It means we're going to let the grace of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit do a work. It means that we're going to hear God's word. I want to tell you why church exists, because it's the one place left sacred where the word of God can be preached and people either take it or leave it. Be the taker and be enriched is the bottom line of the story. Receive Jesus' lordship and let him rule and reign over you, and he'll let you rule and reign. He said, when we go to heaven, when we experience the end of this age, he says there's going to be 1,000 years where God's people rule and reign in the earth while things are being made right. You know how to be a part of that? Is you choose to be a part of it now and say, I'm going to find what's right. I'm going to focus on what's right. And here's how you know you're doing that well. You walk in a room where you don't really know people well, but there's somebody in the room you've invested in exchange of right, and they see you and they are gunning for you. Yes. That's how you know. That's how you know at work you're a witness for Jesus. That's how you know at the bank you're a witness for Jesus. That's how you know at the hardware store you're a witness for Jesus. You're not there just getting your stuff done. You are there on a mission to let Jesus' light shine to somebody. And we do it not by pointing out what's wrong, not by saying, do you go to church? We point out something good that they're doing right. Thank you for being so helpful. Thank you for working on a holiday to serve me so I can eat and didn't have to cook today. Thank you for waiting my table and not letting my drink run out. You know, you can leave a tip. The world does that. Or you can love somebody, and that's uncommon now. You can affirm somebody, that's uncommon now. What do? You affirm something that's right, and you win a friend forever. Stand your feet. Heavenly Father, thank you for the season that we are in. You're moving us into a lifestyle to more easily and more readily reach people. You're teaching us how to love well in our own families and in our own home. You're teaching us, Jesus, how to love ourselves the way you love us. Where there's a conflict going on the inside, where we're still sorting out your way and our way. But we choose to allow you to do that work, and we're going to walk in love even with our own self. We're not going to be beating on others because we're not happy with ourselves. We're not going to fuss at others for what's wrong with them. We're going to tell each other something good. We're going to learn to focus on that and recognize that's our spiritual nature at work. Even if it means we have to speak something that isn't happening yet. We have to project into the future. Thank you for being so kind and generous and compassionate when we're not feeling it at all. Father, we have the ability to sow this seed supernaturally and speak it into our homes and into our relationships and into our families where things might be a little tight or a little rocky. You give us the ability. Today you gave seed to the sowers. Father, I know this seed carries a hundredfold return to happen now in this life because it's all about letting Jesus be Lord in our relationships. Heavenly Father, thank you that this place will be enriched by our obedience. Our relationships will be enriched by our obedience to you. And we'll not only be willing, but we will be obedient. And you will give us the good of the land to eat now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.